Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we got two very special returning guests. They're also returning from a missions trip to Japan. Welcome back to the show, Matt Deguchi and Brandon Hojo. Welcome back, guys.
Woo.
Thank you, thank you.
Ohayou gozaimasu.
Very good, Brandon.
Konnichiwa.
I'm not sure how much of a welcome I want to give to Brandon though, because he stole my chair.
Oh my gosh!
Actually, maybe it is a good welcome. Maybe I need a new perspective in this podcast.
Yes.
Maybe that's what today's all
that's
about.
That's really what it is.
It is kind of funny though, because Brandon is sitting in Kyle's normal chair, and he's also wearing the same shirt.
I know.
As
I walked in and we're like, "Hey, we're wearing the same shirt." Okay, so that you just want to be me today. I get it. That's
I think
all right.
He's trying to take your
tell
job,
us all about
Kyle.
Japan, Kyle.
So this past Sunday, we had a very special sharing from the Japan team as the whole team got a chance to share about their experiences while they were on the missions field. And we wanted to follow that up with bringing in some of the guys that were in leadership to share a little bit more about their experience on the trip too. So wanted to get things kicked off by asking you guys, was there something specific that God highlighted to you while you were on the trip? Let's go with Brandon first.
I knew it.
Hey, you're in my chair. What do you expect?
I think
I just want you to go first, so then I could be like, Brandon, that's so neat.
Oh my gosh, another eye roll. I think I have to see it kind of more of a bigger picture, because just before I was in Japan, I was in Georgia, and I was in Georgia for 6 weeks. Very little church community, just from what I'm used to, and so I landed back July 3rd, 15 hours at home. And then I went to Japan for 18 days. And so I kind of have to see it on a wider spectrum, right? So the preparation process was different for me going into it than most other people. And so one of the highlights, it was great because in the span of 4 months, I went to 4 different churches. And I got to see, right, Southern Hospitality churches in Georgia, 2 different ones there. And then going to Full Gospel Fukuoka Church in Japan, just seeing how their faith is. Mm. And one of the hugest highlights for me is like faith is faith, like across all these different cultures, all these different types of personalities, like how there are so many people who are just on fire for the Lord, how much faith that they have. And even though I may not understand what they're saying or where they're coming from, like, I think God still loves them, of course. And it's like, just to be able to see that amongst the different communities to me was awesome. It's just so amazing. And then even coming back to Catalyst, it was like people are just on fire. And it's so good to see across the globe, across the country, just, you know, faith is so strong, and just how it works in your personal life. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was just really, really great to see. And I think that was something that I will never forget, of just on all of my trips in totality, like, it, God is good. Mm. And just so many people love God in their own ways. And so that was really cool for me.
And then you get a chance too to see the family of God and how vast the family is. It's like, we got, you got family in Georgia, you got family in Japan, and you got family here.
Right.
And you got to experience that all within a couple months. That's
right.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Very neat. Or,
you stole it. I was just about to say it.
Just driving the knife deeper.
So that's two, Brandon. We got two on
two neats. Yeah. That's a third.
I've given up on counting. You guys can say neat however many times you want.
For new listeners, that was from a long time ago. Damon got called out by Brandon by saying he would end things, "Oh, that's so neat. Oh, that's so neat." And then Brandon, I think you might want to change to some other words. So that's a little throwback.
There are so
joke.
Many other adjectives that you can use. Cool, awesome, great, amazing, fantastic.
I know, and I'm much better now, right? I don't.
Yes, from 2 years ago, yes, much better.
It's much neater now.
Oh, jeez.
See, so we can just go back and have fun with it now.
That's right. Do whatever you want.
And get all the eye rolls from Brandon now.
It should be an eye roll counter.
All right, Matt, how about for you?
One highlight for me is this came up in like one of the prayer meetings. It's after shout out to Jordan Ito, after she gave her awesome testimony, it kind of like opened opened up the room for, I think, the Holy Spirit to be even more present, and it definitely unlocked like different people praying for different people in the congregation. Like, I think one of our youth kids might have prayed for one of the students in the prayer room. But that particular night, I had a strong feeling to go pray for Pastor Kim. Mm. So,
that's the senior pastor, right?
Yeah, the senior pastor at Fukuoka Church. Yeah, so, you kind of don't know during these prayer meetings what you're allowed to do and what you're not to some extent. Mm. So normally it's like close the lights and then you just start to pray out loud, basically. So I was like, well, okay, I can't walk up to him and be like, let me pray for you, because, you know, for all he knows, he might think I'm trying to jump him or something. So I went to Pastor Elijah, and even that was a little risky.
That's his son.
Yeah. That is a translator, full-time translator that speaks Korean, Japanese, and English. So I just went up to him and I was like, hey, can I pray for your dad? And then he's like, oh yeah, when? And I was like, I kind of want to do it now, but if you want me to do it after the prayer meeting or another time. And then he kind of just looked at me and he was like, okay, yeah, you could do it now. I was like, okay, thank goodness. So then we went over to Pastor Kim's spot, and then I just prayed for him. And I just felt the weight of just him being a pastor in Japan and him being full Korean. So he's literally fighting for a nation that's not even his. Mm. So, and the fact that Japan's just 1% or less like Christian too. So I know by any of the stretch of the imagination, that cannot be easy. Mm. And just seeing him just kind of do his thing for, I think he said he's been there for 37 years. I think that's what he said. Mm. So before I even prayed for Pastor Kim, I like broke down. Mm-hmm. It was so hard for me to just get a word out in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I prayed for him, and then we had a debrief meeting after the fact. And then Jerry highlighted this during the debrief, and I didn't even recognize it too. He says, Matt, you're the only person on this team that's Japanese and Korean, mm-hmm. and you're American. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like, it hits all of the things that Pastor Elijah can speak, right? English, Korean, and Japanese. And I didn't realize that until Jerry said that. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's right. So that was a really cool moment for me. And that probably happened like later on in the second week of the trip. So, yeah, that was a really cool highlight.
I think that's a very I'm trying to get my adjectives correct, Brandon. There's a lot of pressure now that Brandon's sitting right next to me. It's a little different than when he's sitting across. It's like he's next to me. It's like the aura of Brandon is right there. I just like getting the eye rolls today. But anyway, I think it's a great picture of a very biblical truth, right? Is that in order to get to the Father, you have to go through the Son, right? Mm. And so for us as believers, it's right. Our pathway to the Father is through Jesus, right? And so the protocol that Matt went through to go to Pastor Kim was through the Son. I think that's just a really neat picture of a biblical truth for us, that we can, that's how we access the Father, is through the Son. I think it's just an amazing way for you to express that and show that biblical truth through that story.
Can I ask you, was there a response from Pastor Kim? Like what, how was it received, or was there anything different or like after that?
Like he definitely seemed, cause he doesn't speak English. So right. it's harder to kind of communicate those things, mm-hmm. but just through his body language, it looked like he appreciated it. Mm. And,
oh, so did Pastor Elijah translate your prayer, or you just went on your own?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Elijah did. Oh, yeah, okay. That's why I went to talk to Pastor Elijah first, so that he can translate for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like for some reason, I had a just gravitation towards Pastor Kim for some reason throughout the whole trip. Like every prayer session or even during Sunday, I would try to like at least shake his hand and say hi to him. Yeah. And, you know, he'll just do his typical, just like shake my hand, and then he'll just nod his head like two or three times. Like, and then he'd go on his day. But I always try to make a point to say hi to him out of just respect and honor. Cause I mean, he is the senior pastor and he is hosting us. Yeah.
And you had the Kim family name too.
Yeah. That's true.
Right?
And okay, so here's a random story. So with that, I'm sorry, everyone. I already repented to God for this, but like I there is some prayer nights. Those were from 7 to 8, and we're walking everywhere. And sometimes we're eating at 5:30. We're not done till 6:45, and we have to like book it back.
Yeah.
And in all sweat. So like, I probably 2 to 3 times I probably just went to bed during the prayer meeting.
Oh, like fell asleep in
the prayer asleep accidentally. Like one time I was at a table. Backpack on the table, and I was praying in my backpack, and I just knocked out. And then another time, someone took a picture of me on the team, and my head's just like, I was just full, my back all the way up against the back of my chair, and my head just like
tilted
back, my mouth open, and everything.
Drool?
No, not drool. Right. But that. So during Pastor Kim's Friday message, he like, he purposely called out me and Jerry at the end of his thing when people were mingling, called us over. He gave me like this vitamin pack. And he's like, this helps you with your sleep. And I'm like, oh gosh. Like he
saw me.
He's seeing me. He's watching me. And I'm like,
too funny.
Yeah. So ever since then, I made it a high priority not to sleep. So I stood up. Yep. Brandon saw me giving me Mentos, like secretly giving it to me and just standing up. And yeah, so I was like, oh yeah, this is like, can't play with this fire. I might get burned. Lightning might strike me down. Like, I can't do this to him.
I mean, at least he didn't chew you out. He gave you a vitamin pack to help you, right? Yeah. That's kind of a cool way to do it.
Yeah, but he can't speak English, so even if he tried to chew me out, he couldn't, so...
Well, like, I think you would have known.
Yeah, that's true.
He could have chewed out Pastor Elijah, and Pastor Elijah could have chewed you out.
Yeah,
that's cool.
All right, so, you know, I wanted to use this time also to give us an opportunity to talk a little bit more about the people in Japan, just to give our listeners and our congregation a little bit of a picture of what the culture is like in the area that you went. What are the kids like? What are you know, Pastor Elijah and Pastor Kim like? Just to give us a picture of the relationships that we're building over there. You know, one of the things that I think is cool is that this was kind of a discovery team, just to see if this is something that we as a church might want to continue to do and continue to build a relationship with this church in the future, and potentially have other teams go in the years ahead. And so, part of that, I wanted to give our people a picture of this church that we potentially could be building a relationship with that could be continual in the future. So you guys have anything that you'd like to share about the kids, the people, the pastor?
Well, Brandon, before you jump into that, I want to add a layer, because I know this was your first international trip, right?
First trip outside of North America.
Or outside North America. Yes. Okay, yes. Okay. So maybe even sharing your perspective of what was it like going into it? Did it meet expectations? Was it different in certain ways? Was it what you expected in certain ways? And then maybe even tie that in with what you saw in the people.
Yeah, so during our preparation, we talk about what to kind of expect. Mm-hmm. I mean, just small things in the public, like don't talk on the subway, like, mm-hmm. This is how you accept change in money, don't give it to the hand, you know, just small stuff like that.
Don't eat in public, right, Matt?
Yes, Kyle.
We're not there yet. We'll get to Matt in a few minutes.
I agree with you. Do not eat with your mouth open walking.
So we prep for that.
Right.
And it's just general Japan culture, just that kind of stuff. And then, so Fukuoka is not like insanely big, but they're not like country.
Right, right.
And so where we were like, you could tell we were just outside the main city. Mm-hmm. And so even that was a reflection of like the prices. Mm. We get this great food and then go into the city, like, whoa, it's so much more expensive. Mm-hmm. But that's even normal here. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of like that kind of prep, it's like, okay, you kind of know that going in. And so the first few days you like, not go overboard, but you try to do everything right. Mm-hmm. And so the bowing, the very little Japanese, you know, arigato to everything. Mm-hmm. Right, the slippers and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I would say it met expectations to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And then you start to interact with people. Mm. And so one of the stories for me, I met this awesome guy. His name is Shuhei. He's a legend in my head. So the first day, our first full day there for Team 2, we go to their Sunday service. Mm-hmm. And so Matt and Sydney are giving us these like translator pocket.
I mean,
things.
Literally, this is like about 12 hours after you get
yeah,
to this.
Yeah,
city,
we land
right?
at like 8 or 9 p.m. We get in, we enter the dorm at like 10, so we're tired.
Yeah,
we wake up. All right, we're going to church.
Church service.
Yeah, and so we're going to church, and so we get these little translator, radio transmitter things that we got to put in our ears, right? So then worship starts, and then there's this guy playing a shofar in the back, and it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. So you're just trying to get to the understanding of the vibe. And so I notice him, and he's like perfect at it, and he's like super good. And so service ends, and they prepare a meal for us. And so just in context, so for the team, we're teaching English to the kids. So your main line of thinking is like, I want to connect with the kids, right? But then for the leaders, it's like, yes, but I'm kind of in a more support role for the youth and the SIA. And so in my mind, it's like, well, who do I talk to? And then, like, I don't speak Japanese, so, like, how is this going to work? And so I start talking to Shuhei, this guy. And so we're trying really hard to, like, talk to each other. And it's, like, not working out.
Yeah.
So then he pulls out his phone, and he starts typing in his phone, and he starts translating on his phone. And so I was like, oh, I get what he's saying now. And then I'm like, I'm just going to pull out my phone. And so we had this great, great conversation through our phone. Like, no words were spoken, just, like, awkward nods. Like, yeah. And then we're just doing it on our phone. And I think after that, every week, I just want to talk to Shuhei. And he was just so cool. And he's like one of those guys who's big servant heart. He's kind of running around. He's doing announcements. He's helping with tech stuff. And like so what was great, because even on the last day that we were there with the church, we did the whole, every time we saw each other, we pulled out our phones and just started talking. And we're like around the same age. And then I was saying like, oh, you should come to California. And then he responds like, oh, like if it's in God's plan. And then a few seconds later, he's like, something, pray. And I was like, right now? He's like, yeah, let's pray right now. And so then we started praying for each other. And so he prayed for me in Japanese. I didn't understand anything, but it's kind of like, that's not the point. And like, I heard California. And so then, like, so then it's my turn. So I start praying for him in English. And I don't think he understands anything I'm saying. But it's like, like it was just this great connection that even though we don't speak the same language, we found a way. It's great in the 21st century that we can do that. And so it's just like, the next time I go back, I want to talk to him, you know. Not that I don't love the kids, but it's like Shuhei is just this awesome example of like he's like everything that he's doing in his work life, in his home, at the church. Like it was just such a great connection for me to something that I might remember him maybe more than the kids. And it was just such a great experience for me to like, how are you like working? How's it like being a Christian in your workplace? We kind of talked about that kind of stuff. And it's like, hey, I'm kind of experiencing that too in my own way because this is what I do for my work. And so I think that connection that we made will arguably last a very long time. And so I think it was just this really great opportunity of like, okay, we go into this trip thinking about the kids, but it's like, oh no, I want to talk to some of these people attending this church. And Shuhei was just this great example of like how God kind of just moves things around of like, yes, you're here for the kids, but you're here for so many other people too. Kind of what Jerry was saying about the 1%, it's more than just the kids. And so they're doing it. So it's really cool.
All right, how about for you, Matt?
What's the question again?
I'm seeing a pattern here.
The question was, just share about any of the relationships that you build, any of the types of things that we would like for our people to experience a little bit more of through being able to go a little bit deeper with our expanded amount of time that we have on the podcast. Just give us a little bit of a picture of what the church or the people are like, you know. And you were there for the whole time, right? So you got to stay the whole month. So you probably got a chance to build a little bit deeper relationships than a lot of the other people that went on the trip too.
Yeah. For the record, I forgot the question because I was so enamored with.
Of course. I'm same way.
Yeah. Shout out to Shuhei. It was really cool to get to interact with the people from the church. Like, in all honesty, like, that is the best part about missions trips for me. It's when you could connect with people in another country. And, it's crazy, like, when you're worshiping in Japanese and it's like being in Japanese, and sometimes I have some English words, and like some of the worship songs, like it's so like, oh, I know this song in English, but they're singing in Japanese. So There's this like beautiful harmony of like us speaking, singing in English and then them singing Japanese. And it's like, yeah, it's a reflection of like, yeah, we all have one God. And it's just cool when you see different nations kind of come together to worship the same God. And like, you feel that sense of like, yeah, like these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Like these are, yeah, like my family out here. And that definitely started to develop more and more and more as the trip went on, especially when you're there for like a whole month. Yeah, like I think for me, one thing, because in their church, and it was talked about in the service yesterday, there is a huge discrepancy of like the kids and then basically a jump to the adults and then a jump to like the senior citizens. And there's like not many young adults and it's like this huge jump. So one thing that was touching for me is seeing the students, like they always do like these performances either in the Sunday school or even at the tail end of team two, they had a performance and, you know, they're very organized and, yeah, they put a lot of time and effort into doing these performances, but you just see the hope and like, like this is the future of Japan. Like this is the future of Japan's, like the people who are going to be leaders for Jesus basically in years to come. And, you know, I always ask myself this, like this church, like I know it's 1% Christian in all of Japan, but how much does this church represent of that 1%, right? So it's yeah, it's just cool to see that. And one person that I was really, it was really cool to talk to her was this mom named Kana. She has a lot of history in Australia, and then she moved to from Australia to Japan, and she's a she was a teacher in Australia, and then she's now a university teacher in Japan, and speaks fluent English, fluent Japanese. But just hearing her story and her heart for not only the church but for her kids in terms of English speaking, and both her kids, Haru and Lisa, they know they're fluent in English, so it's really cool to interact with them. And yeah, just connecting with her. And you know, there's not like this language barrier, so you can get, you could go a lot deeper in conversation just because we both know English. And yeah, just seeing her heart for her kids, the church, and just pushing them to want to elevate their English classes and their English speaking, and also to the level, the amount of appreciation she had for us on the trip was like immense. Like when Brandon alluded to it, like when we were doing the Psalm 23 verse where we were teaching the kids to memorize all of Psalm 23, which I think is 6 verses. So we had to perform that in front of the whole, or not the whole congregation, but like a little segment of the congregation on a Wednesday day. And after the performances were all done, like she, Kana was just like bawling because she was like, you know, thank you guys for, you know, teaching them the verse in English, and just, you know, this couldn't have been done if it weren't for you guys. And you know, she's giving us huge props, but in my head, I'm just like, I'm a math person, right? I'm like, okay, that verse compared to all the performances that happen, it's probably like 5%. You're talking 7%. So the fact that, you know, if this, all of this couldn't have been happening without us, I was like, okay. Like, yeah, but I get her heart. Like, it's like, you could tell the impact we had on their church in terms of the kids wanting to speak English, like them really trying to communicate with us, and like seeing how their, you know, just the joyful time we had with them and how it also elevated their whole church too. Like it was definitely a jolt of just joy and just like, you know, oh, it's really fun having a missions team out here with us. 'Cause you definitely saw like encouragement and just more, life in that church too. Not saying they're like dead or anything, but just like it's like a nice just boost of just, you know, confidence and just being like, oh yeah, like it's really cool having Americans here, because we were the first American missions team for them too. So yeah, really good stuff, and really looking forward to how Jesus or how God like builds up this relationship between us and seeing how it goes from here.
So you mentioned about seeing the hope in the kids and in the next generation of leaders. Did you have a sense of there being a difference in the hope level of the people in the church or the kids than you did when you're interacting outside of the church, like when you guys were kind of exploring the rest of the country?
I would say yes, because like, you know, when I saw the kids perform and there's a certain song where I like very much so felt that like the song literally talks about them being leaders. And I think it's different from outside the church, because you know for a fact that they love Jesus and that they're fighting a battle that that it's like stacked against them, basically. So knowing like the potential hardship, knowing the potential like feeling like the black sheep of the whole country, like I kind of felt that a little bit. And just understanding that and just being like, yeah, like these are kids, like they're gonna have to really fight for their faith. They're gonna really have to embrace that, yeah, we are not normal. Like this is not normal in Japan, but you know, I'm gonna be this anyways because it's for Jesus. So just understanding that level, because in America, for us, it's super easy. It's a lot easier for us to be Christians because they're, you know, I don't know what the number is in terms of percentage, but it's, I feel like it's like 50-50 or even higher, where you're like, oh, like we could talk about faith and things. But for them, it's like, right, 99 out of 100 people, you know, one person out of the 99 out of 100 understands what they're talking about. So, yeah.
Yeah, in Japan, it's even harder than that too, because it's not just the percentages, but it's also the, you know, there's a saying in Japan, it's like the nail that sticks out gets hammered down, right? So there's a sense of in Japan, it's better to fit in than to stand out, right? And so if you're part of that 1%, it's not just that there's 99% that's not, but it's also you stand out and you're different. And that's looked down upon in Japan culturally. So it's not just the numbers game, but it's also like the shame aspect of it and those other things. So for you to see those kids with hope, I mean, that's awesome, because they're going to need it, right? Because they're going to not just be battling that, you know, 99% are not on our side, but then also we're standing out, and that's difficult to do in Japan. It's a difficult thing to carry, being the one that stands out.
I'm curious to see, well, a couple of different aspects. Like our church culture, I'm guessing it was quite a bit different than theirs, right? For being a Japanese Korean church, so there's some difference. I know they're spirit led, so there's probably some similarities. But what did you guys see in that environment? And then also school church relation, like school. From what I gather, schooling in Japan is very intense, right? And it's very much about getting into the right schools and all that. So there's a lot of pressure on that. So how do they balance that with their Christian faith? And then maybe even what did you guys bring that maybe was a little bit different perspective that maybe helped unlock some things or make it, in a sense, fun or bring hope or bring joy to it instead of just like more dread? Were you guys able to see any of that kind of stuff?
I know for a fact me and Brandon have different experiences with this, because I, in the team one, they were very much so teaching, whereas Brandon's team two experience, they did do teaching, but not to the extent of team one. So I know for a fact me and Brandon are going to have different.
Yeah, so yeah, sure.
Yeah, you should go first then.
Well,
yeah.
Was that intentional? Like, were you guys
playing? No, that was not intentional. No.
It was more the scheduling of how it played out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so maybe describe for you, Matt, like, what did you see in those different segments, those 2 weeks and then the other 2 weeks? What did you see with the intensity and then the shift and then also just what your team brought? And especially as they got more comfortable with you and you got more comfortable with them, did things play out a little bit different?
Yeah, so Pastor Elijah, the person that translates everything for us, he's usually the one that teaches English. Mm. Yeah. So we pretty much took his teaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he literally had like a 4 or 5 week sabbatical nice. From teaching, which he said was amazing.
He loved it.
Yeah. He was like, he was like, this is awesome. So, yeah, I think for us, it was we definitely brought a level of funness to the group because we wanted to make it more interactive and we were trying to be as thoughtful as we could be in terms of like we're focusing on them learning English. So in the beginning, you know, we had Sakata on our team who is from Okinawa. And so her Japanese is pretty good. So we would have her translate a good amount in the beginning in terms of teaching during mm-hmm. our English block. But then one of the teachers said to us, like, don't translate for them. Mm-hmm. Don't translate the lesson, the teaching to them, because it's serving as a crutch. And then mm-hmm. at some point they're going to be like, well, why do we have to learn about the English parts when mm-hmm. they're just going to say it to us in Japanese anyways? Mm-hmm. So that was a really big, you could take it as face value as being like harsh and just, you know, like strict. But what she said was there was a lot of truth to that. So it really helped us to know like, okay, we need to amp up our English. Like we need to have them write more. We need to have them speak more. We need to have them say things more. So like, yeah, so... yeah, so there was a level of let's be thoughtful in terms of speaking English, but at the same time, let's have fun mm-hmm. doing it too. And yeah, like I'll speak on the Japanese education system. I was talking to Pastor Elijah and he was like, yeah, being a teacher in Japan, mm-hmm. you make bank. You make so much money really? Because he said like, everyone's trying to get into the best school. You're competing against everybody. Like, it's not enough to just go to school. Mm-hmm. You need to go to cram school. You need to go to school on the weekends. You need to go to school. You need to go to tutoring mm-hmm. sessions after school so that you can just be ahead of everyone else. And it's basically, right, like survival of the fittest. Mm-hmm. Like, whoever studies more, whoever works harder more, like you're going to succeed and everyone else will just, you know, crash and burn basically. So he said like, you know, maybe I should be a teacher in Japan. Cause he said they're making like 6 figures. They're like millionaires because there's all these tutoring and after school programs. And then they all know too, all the teachers know that, oh, these, right, we're just going to use their stress, their, you know,
the pressure,
the parents' money to feed into this like beast because mm-hmm. we know that, you know, that's where the bread comes in from. Mm-hmm. So wow. like that I know for a fact mm-hmm. is just part of their culture.
So then how do they approach that as a church school? What do they do differently?
I think for their school, they have a huge emphasis on teaching them about the Bible. Mm-hmm. Like, I know for a fact they have quiet times. Mm. I know, like, when we were there, one of their projects was, all right, you guys are going to be remembering the story of Joseph.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And they had to memorize everything in English, the story of Joseph. And I'm telling you this right now, some of those kids... I'm like, I don't think I could do that.
It was impressive.
With enunciation. I saw that on the recording. The enunciation and everything.
Yeah.
Like, man.
I don't know. I'm no, I'm pretty sure I can't do that. Like some, like some, one kid in particular, he is literally saying it as if he's reading it. He was saying it so fast.
It was impressive. Mm.
Yeah, and I was like,
how old is he?
He's 10. Just turned 10. He just turned 10, and he was reading it as if it was in front of him, but it was just all from memorization. All
right, we got to raise the bar for our kids, the 10-year-olds in the pride.
Well, I mean, I'm just asking these questions because I'm trying to get a feel for even the tension that these families that are putting their kids in this school, this Christian school, that they're trying to, I guess, somehow navigate that tension of these expectations and getting into these better schools, yet also valuing their faith. So in some ways, they're giving up education time to their faith, but then do they still have the same pressures, and or do they just like, well, we just get into whatever school we can and it's not as much pressure for them? Or do they still have to navigate both of that? Like, we want to emphasize the faith, but then at the same time, our kids are getting pushed really hard outside of school as well.
And if you don't know, it's okay to.
Yeah, no, I'm just asking if you know.
Oh, yeah. I for sure don't know about that because, mm-hmm. You know, with the language barrier and stuff, like, you can't get to that point of conversation. But if I were to assume, I would assume that it's like they're surrounded by a really good community. And there's a lot of, like, you know, wherever Jesus is, there's a lot of life, right? So I'm assuming that they are sacrificing the education portion of it because, right, if they're talking about things about Jesus, right, then obviously that's taking the place of more education, right? So, but...
Or it's just a different kind of education.
Yeah, it's a different kind emphasis. Emphasis and different kind of education. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they're equipping their kids with the spiritual values so that that's something they could have when they do go to school.
Yeah, because I was talking to, I don't remember who I was talking to, but I was like, I don't feel like I really know many of the students' parents. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, I know this is a family. And then as I was like, oh, I know these kids, their parents, this person who's serving in the church. Mm-hmm. These kids, this is this parent who's serving in the church. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like there's a lot of families that are so involved with the church and the running of the church. Mm-hmm. And so and these people are just on fire. They love the Lord. And it's just so evident. And so it almost just makes sense for them to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to put my kid in this school and learn all these same values.
That's a priority.
Right. And so I can't speak for all of them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All the parents, but it's like, they clearly know how important it is for them to go to this Christian school, right?
I mean, that's kind of what I was assuming, but I mean, it's just like making the connection of why they would even choose that. But I mean, just you saw that, and that helps a lot too, just to make that connection that they're living out their faith, and part of it is their future of their kids.
And I don't know this for a fact, but at least some of the kids. So, we were asking one of the kids attends a school, but then their siblings don't, and we were like, why is that? Like, I don't understand. And so we know at least that student she had a choice to attend this international school or not, and she chose not to. And so I think there's at least some, I don't know if freedom is the right word, but there's some like decision making on their end. And I think she's got to be like 9, 10, right?
yeah
And so like she chose not to attend the school, right? And so at least there is some decision making. It's not just the parents.
Okay. How about for you, Brandon? Any like observations of our church culture, their church culture, the education systems, and that kind of thing?
Well, coming from a lay person's perspective, like, I'm not in the education system. I've never been anything in that world. I don't want to necessarily say differences, but something that I noticed is just, and I don't know if this is Japanese culture or just their church, but they're so disciplined. They know the right time. This is when to be silly and funny, and this is the time when not to be. Yeah. And they're kids. And they're kids, and so they will fool around. But they know, I'm going to run outside and make noise and not during this prayer meeting, you know, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so I think, or even just the amount of memorization that these kids have is just, it's so evident. Every morning they're doing the Ten Commandments. Every morning they're doing the Lord's Prayer in Japanese and in English. They have hand motions to every single song. They just know it. And then even the performances that we did at the end of the year. So we got to watch some of the rehearsals, and obviously during the actual presentation, it's like, wow, there's all these dance movements. We joke, like, could we do this? And we're like, adults. Can we do all the things that they do? And they've been preparing the whole year, but it's just the amount of memorization that they have mm-hmm. at 10, right? And so they're learning Psalm 23, and they're 8 years old in a different language, and they're doing it, mm-hmm. right? And so not to say that, yeah, apples and oranges, but it's kind of like just how disciplined they are and how important it is for them and the priorities mm-hmm. to do all of these things. It just became very evident, right?
So do you see some of that even being needed in not just Catalyst, but in the U.S. as far as the disciplines of our faith and, yeah, just going deeper in that way?
I'm pro discipline. Get them while they're young. You know, because if I had that stuff, like yeah. I would just spit the Lord's Prayer whenever I needed it. Yeah, you know, at any point. Yeah. And I know it's even inspired some of our team to be like, oh yeah, I should say the Lord's mm-hmm. Prayer every day, mm-hmm. and I should memorize it. Mm-hmm. And or like Psalm 23, I'm just gonna run it through my head because mm-hmm. I know that it's good for me. And so, like, I'm not in a position to declare everyone needs to do this. But like, we talk all the time about spiritual disciplines. We talk about fasting. We talk about when we should be praying. We should talk about going to desolate places and spending time with the Lord. And so, like, these disciplines, writing scripture in your heart, who wouldn't want to suggest mm-hmm. that, right? And so it's kind of like, yes, in American culture, it's up to you to make the time and to do that. But then even during services or en masse, if we kind of encourage it, I can't force you, but hey, we're going to do this together. So like when we did the Awe of God book, mm-hmm. almost everyone in the church was doing it, and we can see the outcomes of the fruit of it. And so just having those disciplines as a kid or in the kids ministry, it's not that we have to like step up your game per se, but it's like they can do it, we can do it. You know, it's not incredibly difficult. It's just the process, right?
It's good.
Yeah, I think what you're sharing gives us a good picture of kind of the level that we can see our kids at. And it kind of falls in, it's a good timing because it falls in line right after last week's episode and last week's sharing with Laura, where she was talking about raising the floor for our kids, right? And raising the standard and kind of not allowing ourselves to lower that, right? And so now that we've seen it, now that some of our youth have seen it, you know, hopefully you guys will be able to bring it when we do kids church and just kind of recognize that, oh, we can expect more from our kids too. And so, like, even for me, that's one of the things that I was talking with my kids about yesterday, since, you know, now that we're in a new school year and we just promoted all of our kids to the next stations or next areas, I'm also stepping in to help with the pride. And so I was kind of throwing some things around with my kids, like, do you think we could do this? Do you think we could do that? And so we'll see, but... I think that's one of the things for me on my heart really is to help to raise the bar for what we can expect from our kids and how we see them and, you know, the expectations levels that we have of them. And so it's cool to see from your guys' perspective through the lens of Japan is that, wow, these kids, we can call out a lot more than maybe we've been even thinking over here, just because over here, some of our standards, and not necessarily just at church, but just education system, some of those types of things, what we see in society is lower than what they have in Japan. And we can call our kids up a little bit more than we have been.
I think you said setting expectations. I think it's both kids and adults. Like
right,
sometimes we just,
too, yeah.
everybody can kind of do their own thing and everybody can kind of choose their own path. And man, I've had at times where people have called me up and I'm like, it doesn't always feel good. Or it's like, I don't know if I really want that, you know, but it's like, but you appreciate, oh, but I needed that. And maybe I'm not going to respond yet, or maybe I will, but are we willing to push a little bit to say, hey, not a performance earning type of thing, but hey, if your faith is really that important, shouldn't it elevate a little bit? Shouldn't we be pushing each other and wanting more of that? So no, I think there's value in that. And I think if it goes too far, then it has its own consequences and negative things. But I think we've drifted too far away from it where it's the comfort and the easy life, so to speak.
Right. And I think even taking that a step further, I think similar to what Pastor Barry is trying to push for is like, as leaders, you have to go there first, right? So if we're asking our kids to be disciplined, not only the parents, but even the leaders, even the general population of churches, like, you should memorize this too, or
right.
you should X, Y, Z. And it's kind of like, yeah, not only are we asking them to step up, but we do as well.
Right? Good point.
Yeah, I think kind of a good picture of that too is what happened on First Friday is that for those of you that don't know, this past Friday was First Friday and Brett has been doing a lot of good things First Friday, and you guys are both involved in First Friday also,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that they did with our youth this past one was there was a challenge made to abstain.
Yeah.
to abstain from a particular habit or something that might take away time from their time with the Lord and to replace it with something else. For some of them, it was time with the Lord, and some of them, it was some other things. But kind of like what Brandon was talking about, you know, someone in my family who went to First Friday.
Gee, I wonder who that was.
got in the car and said, I'm giving up YouTube for a month, right? And so to model what Brandon was talking about, like if I'm going to have that ask my child to do that, then I should be willing to do that myself too. So in the car, I said, I'll do that too. If you're not going to be going on YouTube for this month, then I will not go on YouTube for this month. And
oh shoot, I was going to send you a YouTube video. No, seriously, it's like really good. But I'm like, oh, maybe I should wait.
I will put it in my queue okay, for September.
Go. Okay,
not in August. But I mean, it's we're on August 4th right now, yeah. right? And it's already been not a struggle, but just recognizing how much. We're using it for just various things, right? Mm. Like there was a song that we wanted to look up this weekend. It's like, oh, I need to find it in a different place than YouTube, where normally I'd go find it on YouTube or something like that, you know? And it wasn't to watch something, but it was just to listen to something, you know? So just the various ways that making some of those choices impacts our lives and how we have to make adjustments to it. But kind of like Brandon was saying, it's like, I want my child to know that I'm willing to go first and I'm willing to not just ask them to do something if I'm not willing to do it too. So even though I didn't have to, I wanted to let that child know that I was willing to do that.
On a silly side note, does that mean that you are not allowed to watch any of our testimonies on YouTube?
Which testimonies?
All the ones that we shared in Japan.
The ones that we are on the blog?
Uh-huh.
For this month, yes, I'm not supposed to do
that.
You gotta
wait? Okay, I was just curious.
Well, I mean, I did watch some of them already.
Because, yeah.
You know, as you guys were going, I was kind of keeping track of you guys too. But, you know, I think for me, it's even with that, it's like, it's kind of the slippery slope, right? It's it starts there. And it's like, oh, I'm doing something good. And then it's like, you know, with the algorithms, then it starts, play next. Oh, shoot. What was I watching now?
Yeah. But small shout out. Go to Catalyst Christian Community. Search it up on Google. Go to the website, go to Japan Missions 2025. Mm-hmm. Everything that we're talking about can be found there. Mm-hmm. Our little highlights, our pictures. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, a lot of us were following along. Even on the Japan team, we're like, oh, what did he post? So we're looking at it too. But it's kind of like, yeah, even at home, even though we're back, like look at the things on the blog and then ask any one of us, team one or team two, hey, what was this about? Mm-hmm. You know, or hey, where was so-and-so's testimony? Oh, it's right here and we'll take you there. So I think it's just an awesome resource that we cannot, you know, talk about enough.
No, you can't point at me, Damon. You're the host. You do it. Point at Matt. Matt's the one that he needs to get pointed at.
All right, I'm pointing at you, Matt.
Thoughts?
Yeah, the fast has been good for First Friday. Yeah.
Yeah, the leaders are doing it too. If that's not implied.
Yeah, and I gave up YouTube, video games, and watching TV.
Whoa, the trifecta!
Yeah.
At first, I was gonna ask you if you want to play Fortnite tonight, but guess not.
Okay, so yours sounds very mean. Mine was an actual. I watched a very good video this morning. You're just being downright mean.
But no, like, yeah, it's been good. I didn't have those things when I was in Japan. So it's like
continuation
and just, just trying to raise my bar to be even higher. Mm. Like, not putting a limit to what I can do. And just like, cause at first it was just going to be video games. And then I was like, I could do X, Y, Z things already in my mind, like to fill in that time. But then I was like, those are the three things I usually give up on Sabbath day, on Sundays for me. Mm-hmm. So coming off of Japan, starting to feel like everything's starting to creep back into me, mm-hmm. in terms of mm-hmm. the patterns of this world for my own life. So I thought it was a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And then what are you replacing it with?
Bible reading, praying, and walking. Yeah, and I'm still processing and think about it, but I might want to go evangelize somewhere, like the mall and stuff, and maybe bring a couple of the youth kids with me.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe treat them out too.
So if any of you youth are listening and you get a call from Uncle Matt, then you know what he's calling about. Oh, okay. So one of the things that you guys had mentioned earlier was worship times in Japan. And a little birdie had told me that you guys learned a song in Japanese.
Okay.
So before we end this episode, I wanted to give you guys a chance to be able to share with our audience that song. So would you guys mind sharing with us the song?
Yeah.
Let's give a little context to it first. Yeah. So it's called the Wordless Book Song. Mm-hmm. Apparently the original version was in English. And so when we first heard about it in Japan, they're like, hey, you guys know this song, right? And we're like, can you play
yeah,
it?
No.
Can you play it for us just so we could and then they play it. We're like, no, we don't know the song. And so they translated it to Japanese mm-hmm. and Korean. Mm-hmm. And then so when they gave it to us, they translated it from their Japanese version back to English. Mm. And so it's a little diluted along the way, just translation.
Right.
And so essentially we're going to sing it for you in Japanese and in English, but it's similar along the path of it's not the prayer beads, but the gospel beads.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like right? this?
Yeah, like the one you're wearing that we can all see. black, red, white, yellow.
Green.
Do you need help? I'm showing blue. Brandon my bracelet.
So because it's so semi-lost in translation, like we only have black, red, white, yellow, and so there's no blue, green. So we have the little books. We were going to sing it on Sunday, but we kind of ran out of time. Mm. Matt and I can't show you the books, the cool little books. is there anything that I missed, Matt?
No, that's pretty good. Yeah.
So it's a way to tell the gospel without words, right?
We'll sing it and you'll be like, and you can just, do a little, your own interpretation. Yeah.
All right. Brandon, if I forget some words, you're going to have to carry.
Oh, jeez.
So this is the world premiere of Brandon and Matt's duo of the Wordless Book Song.
And one, a two, one, two, three, four.
Sumi ni yo go de kurai kokoro mo Shu Yesu sama no chi de anaeba Shiroi yuki no yoni kirei ni nari Kagayaku ten no kuni e yukeru. My heart was black with sin and darkness invaded my soul. When washed by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, will be cleansed and pure and be white as snow and go to the shining kingdom of God.
Lay. Wow, I wish you guys would have done that yesterday. That would have been cool.
Yeah, and so team two, we had to learn that. They kind of, when they were doing rehearsals, kind of on a whim, they're like, oh, do you guys want to do it with them? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm kind of fast-forwarding, but we're like, oh, okay, sure, right? Because the mission mentality, okay, we'll do it. And so we're learning it in English, and then it gets retranslated, so we have to relearn it. And then, like, we're singing it, and then they do a rehearsal, and we're doing it with them. It's like, oh, we should just learn the Japanese version, too. Mm. And so then we take a picture of their whiteboard and as they wrote it out, and so then we learned it in Japanese. And so I think in the span of maybe, like, 2-3 days,
Was
a turnaround of we just memorize it. We're singing it on walks. We do a rehearsal together all in our downtime. And then we get the little books, and then we go up there with them, and then we do it.
Yeah, shout out to Sam and Eli. They were our two people that were the leads on the two different sides. So they were our leads.
Yeah, it's a real shame Sam couldn't do it with us because he was teaching everyone to do it. And then Sydney was super great with the books and the English version. Lee fam really did great. Yeah, it was super great, super fun.
Yeah, that was awesome. I think we should clip it and just send that out as its own thing.
Damon, that would be neat.
You got to get all of us to it, not just me and Matt. You got to get the whole, all of
How
us
neat, Kyle?
Very neat.
You're really digging it in.
Brandon, do you think it would be neat?
I think it'd be awesome.
Wow. If Brandon thought it would be neat, then I think we could do it.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, we're running up a little bit on time. So do you guys have any closing thoughts of anything that stands out about your trip? Anything that you would like our congregation to know?
Or potentially challenges for future opportunities, whether it's Japan or other mission trips?
Well, I'm going to sound like a broken record. I honestly believe there's so many more stories that we didn't share. Mm-hmm. There's so many like interaction with kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of speaking for all of us, but talk to anybody who went on the team. Mm. Like actually, like Jody, Josiah, and Joy aren't here. They have so many great stories. Talk to Jerry because he got to see it from a huge, greater, different perspective. Each and every person who went on that team has so many great stories. Mm-hmm. And so we had a debrief last week, and it's like we definitely didn't even get to go through everything. And it was a 7-hour debrief meeting. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's just so many stories that haven't been told yet. Mm-hmm. And so go to anybody on the Japan, even if you don't know them very well, like, hey, like, how was your experience there? Right? And you really just dig deep. Because some people on the team, they kind of need that prodding, that question asking, mm-hmm. but like they can go there for sure. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely encourage you. And this is something that we at our debrief we talked about. We don't want this to like forget. We don't want to forget about this. We don't want it to go away. Mm-hmm. It's something that definitely will stick with us for a long time, each and every one of us. And so I definitely want to encourage people to talk to people on the team. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, we'll send you a picture. Just walk around with that picture and find someone. Because it's like there's so many stories that haven't been told.
Yeah, I just highly encourage everyone to give missions a chance and a shot if you've never done it. And I think it's because I think it's, especially internationally too, I think when you can experience the Lord and the Holy Spirit in another country where you don't speak the same language, that it's just a totally different culture, but at the same time it feels like you've known these people for a very long time, and that experience, that feeling can only be done when it's through the Lord. So I would definitely highly encourage everyone to check out missions and again, don't force yourself, but as Brandon noted too, for him, timing was everything. And mm-hmm. for everyone, you have your own journey with the Lord. So process with the Lord. Tap into the Holy Spirit and get a sense for when it's your time to potentially go on missions.
I'm glad you're the one that's encouraging people too, since you've gone on two international missions trips in the last year, mm-hmm. and both of them are very different places, having gone to Africa and then Japan. Okay, I guess before we close, how was that different, or like how was that for you, Matt, going to two different places?
Wow, that one just had to come back in.
I know. I told Matt we were going to talk about this before we started, so I didn't want to forget.
Yeah, they were extremely different. I'm not going to lie. They're extremely different. Africa, wake up at 6 a.m., don't get home till 10 p.m., go to bed. Next day, who knows what it is. But, like, this one was, like, very different because like you're tied down, not tied down, but like you have more of a schedule mm-hmm. per se. Mm-hmm. Like you know what to expect to some degree. Whereas in Africa, we're just like, okay, we're waking up at 6 a.m. and coming back home 10 p.m. That's all I know. Yeah. So they're very different, but the most consistent thing through both trips is that yeah, the Lord is there. Mm-hmm. The Lord is there, and really, like, right, like, you have to just go wherever he goes, and you definitely see fruits and just his favoritism and his blessings that when you live that lifestyle, that missions lifestyle. So that in itself is the same, but in terms of the details and the nitty-gritty, they're both very different.
Yeah, I think it just highlights just how big God is that you know, these different cultures, these very different people groups are still worshiping the same God because he's so big that he relates to everyone wherever they're at.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're able to experience that and share that with us too, Matt. So Brandon and Matt, just thanks again for coming on and sharing some of these stories. We're hoping to get a few more people from the Japan team to come on and share some of their stories too, so that we can go a little bit deeper with them too. So hopefully in the next coming time period, we'll have a I don't want to say weeks.
I love that. That was good.
Okay, one for sure is Garrett. Garrett for sure is going to come on sometime soon. He kind of double booked this morning, so we had to shift a little bit, but he will definitely come on and share some of his experiences from the trip, and we're hoping to get a few more people to come on too. So if you're on the Japan team and you're listening to this and you have stories that you want to share, reach out to us and we'll make sure that we give you some airtime too. So thanks again for listening to all of our listeners. We appreciate you, and until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.
Amen.